Welcome to Define You Radio, the place to be for real talk and real tips to help you define your personal and professional life. Class is in session with your host, the Southern Belle of Bold, Valencia Griffin Wallace. Pens and papers ready. Class is now in session.
Yes, hello, hello, and welcome to Define You Radio, classes in session, where you get the life lessons, strategies, and more to teach you how to define life on your own terms. I'm your host, the Southern Belle of Bold, Valencia Griffin Wallace. Make sure you are subscribed and connected to all things Define You, including Define You Movement on Facebook, where classes in session 7 days a week. You can find out more at DefineYouRadio.com. With that being said, guys, this month's series, well, happy April. You know, this is our first show of the month, so let me get that out the way. This month, we are talking about real life. And if you watch me on Facebook, you know I'm always doing my real talk sessions. Well, this month, we're focusing on real life, the good, bad, ugly, how to make it work, and everything else. Classes in session tonight with some of my favorite people in the world, King Donald, and I know I'm probably starting some mess saying that, and Queen Tanya White.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of mess. His head over here big and all other kind of stuff.
You gonna have to start calling him that.
Huh?
I said, you know you're going to have to start calling them that around the house, Tanya. I'm just saying.
Lord. You're starting to.
I'm going to leave that. This is going to be an hour-long show of me being messy because I personally know and love them. I refer to them as brother and sis. Like, Tanya gets the short. She gets sis. You know, and if I go to Texas in their area and don't visit them, it is mess and some threatening Facebook posts. I'm going to leave that alone. They are all around great people. You guys are definitely going to enjoy this hour. They are mentors, business owners, that they've learned how to successfully blend their family, which notice my wording. Because a lot of y'all out there blending families, and it's like oil and water. So I just want y'all to know that. So if you are a single mother or father and you're dating, you can't just leave your kids because you're dating. So you got to find out how to do this successfully. And they have done that. They have beautiful, great children that I love and I call niece and nephew, and, you know, I'm part of the family. They also navigate the waters of homeschooling, which more and more people are talking about doing today, these days, rather, with everything that's going on. And so I'm excited to get into that. They foster creativity and purpose in their children. All their children are doing something. I think it's awesome. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into tonight's show and welcome Mr. and Mrs. White to the show. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are great.
We are well. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. We are excited.
it's going to be an interesting hour. I have to remember I'm on show host form.
Right.
Because I'll forget. So I want to just tell the audience a little bit about you guys, like dating with children. What was that like? Now, I'm not going to add my opinion or of the things I know of somebody's psychoness. I'm going to leave that out. So why don't y'all tell the audience a little bit about what that was like dating with children?
Whew, that was tough. No, it was tough. It was very tough because I was a mom of three young girls. And so now you talk about, you know, their dad is out of the house, and now we're bringing in this new, so who is this new man? So this is the thing I did. They had no clue about him for, it was months, right? It was months before. Right, right. So this is how I did.
Secret lover.
Right, right. Because, like, the kids can't know right now. So this is the thing I did.
Right.
I had them meet him one by one. So my youngest, the baby, met him first because, you know, she was two then.
Two.
So
right.
She didn't really, you know, she wasn't going to really give a pushback. It was the two older ones that I was concerned about. So, you know, once she kind of got in and was comfortable with him, then I brought over the next child. And this was all like separate days, separate weeks. It wasn't even in the same week. Because if the kid, and the same thing with his son, even though I knew his son as a child, but the thing is, if his son didn't like me and if my girls didn't like him, we were done. It was over. It was done.
Right.
So it was no, you know, where you're going to like, where we're going to work it out, where we're going to figure it out. No, because my kids have to be happy just like his son had to be happy too. And so, I mean, because you're going to see this person every day. You know, eventually we want to get married. Eventually we wanted to have a child, you know, by the both of us. So, yeah, you're going to see this person. So somebody got to like somebody. It ain't going to just work like, you know.
Yeah, and past experiences, my son actually shut down a couple of relationships that I did have because his comfort wasn't where I expected it to be and I desired it to be as a parent. So, I was a single parent for 14 before my wife and I started dating. So at that moment, his comfort level was the number one priority. So when he engaged with my wife, with Tanya, and he displayed comfort level, and I asked him, so what do you think? And when he kicked back, oh, she's cool, I knew it was on after that.
That is, I love that, but now I have other questions.
We know.
You know, so because I didn't know that one by one, Tanya, okay? So I have questions. So what if two kids, you know, what if two of the kids were like, yay, and the other kid was like, uh-uh. Was it an all or nothing? Was it like the majority rules with the kids liking him? Like, what was the rule here?
It was that. It really was that. It was two liked him. So the youngest and the oldest, and it was my middle daughter, Tanaya. You know, she is the tough one. She's still the tough one of the bunch. So it was like that from the jump. With her is she, you know, she's tough exterior, but on the inside, you know, she's the sweetest little thing of all.
Yes.
But she's not going to let you know that right off. And so that's how she was okay with him, but it was like, you're not my dad. You know, they grew up in the house with their dad. So, you know, who is this new dude? And now he comes. And now he holding my mama hand, you know, that type of thing.
Now, see, this is where, and I have to bring this in because I think this was very important on my development before my wife and I got together, was I worked at church for 16 years with the youth. So the reason I bring that up is I knew how to handle different types of kids, different types of environments, different situations. I've been to families' homes late at night trying to help out with a kid that they was having problems with and things of that nature. But the reason I brought that up is because I believe that was the preparation for me to understand how to blend a family. Because walking into this, Tanaya made it known right off the bat, I'm not accepting you. I'm not just going to run with you. I don't, and she made it known. But knowing how to deal with, reading that from a child, I knew not to be overbearing. I knew not to be forceful with her and allow it to be organic. And I can remember the day that she walked up to me and gave me a hug that was unsolicited. That made my day. That made my year, because I said at that moment that, yes, this is definitely the right thing, because now
you knew you were there
on board. Yes.
So, question, Mr. Donald, you have a son coming into a situation with girls. How difficult was that? Because let's face it, I mean, I have a son and I have nieces that I've been around their whole life, and hands down, my son and my nephews are much easier than my nieces, and that's just me being like 100.
Yeah, that I have to give all that credit to my wife. So she had some things that she had to open my eyes to, because again, it was just me and my son. So two males in the house for 14 years by themselves. So we had our
I could only imagine.
In our environment. Exactly. And so now, not only are we bringing a blended family, but we're bringing in four females into an all-male environment, and vice versa. We're going into a female environment. But the things that we did growing up together, my son and I, was we understood how to deal with people and how to respect people. And as long as, and he has a lot of cousins that are females. In some cases, he was the only male among seven females. So what I had to do was teach him how to respect women. And my wife, I give her credit, because there was certain things that she said, like when we went house hunting, baby, we have to have three full baths, three and a half baths.
Right.
And we turned down some pretty nice homes because it wasn't three and a half, four baths. And I was like, babe, this is a nice home. It's in our budget. She said, no, it don't have enough. You don't understand. We have to have this. And now that we've been in the home for a few years, now I understand why she was persistent on that. So I leaned on my wife a lot to help me, because not only my son, but myself, I didn't know how to deal with girls. Young age, there was times that, not knowing, I was pushing them away because I was uncomfortable. But my wife had to teach me how to be a father to her daughters or to young girls. And she had to tell me, no, that's what young girls do. Well, I was like, well, no, I'm not supposed to do that. No, you can't come sit under me. But my wife had to teach me and tell me, no, babe, that's what they do. They're going to gravitate to you. You are their father. You're the representative of the male house. So if you push them away, that's what they're going to learn. So you got to embrace that. And it took a while for me to understand it, but my wife was persistent in teaching me that. And when my son see me interact, it was easy for him to interact the same way and know that everything is okay.
I love that. I love that. And you put it so eloquently. You put it so eloquently. And I know me, it's kind of like flip of y'all situation because, you know, I have a son and my husband has two girls. And I'm not even going to lie, I was like straight traumatized. It was too much. I was like, what is all this? Like emotional, it's like emotional stuff. And, you know, it was very, very interesting because, you know, y'all met Cameron. Cameron it's Cameron, you know, he's like very Cameron-y. I don't know how to explain it. And here it is. add two girls to the mix. And all of a sudden, you know, it's, they need attention in different ways than he did, you know, and all of those things that I'm still, you know, on it, still growing accustomed to, because it is a different situation, you know. I'm a boy mom, or he's 21 now. Happy late birthday, son. So I am the mom of a young man who is very much like his mama, very, you know, strong-willed, like you don't show emotions unless it's do or die, or, you know, like, you know. And then we get girls, and it's like, what's wrong? You know, like, so I applaud you guys on that. So that brings me to the next part of this conversation, because Tanya is a health coach. I know, yep. You know, as yep. A family unit, y'all are, you know, about, you know, eating healthy and natural this and all of that stuff. So, Tanya, were you like that, before y'all got together, when y'all were dating, or did it kind of all come together, you know, after the family unit was built?
Definitely after. At the beginning, we were, like, the number one, me and my girls, we were the number one processed food eaters in America. And and so, I mean, because it was all about, you know, I was first time single mom. And so, you know, I had to take the kids to school, pick them up, this is that. So, and work. So it was like, okay, you know, I got to have things that's quick for them to take to school, things that's quick for them to pick up. So it was all about waffles, corn dogs, you know, whatever, Hot Pockets, all that other kind of stuff, because that's what I knew, and that's what I knew that kids ate. So
right.
That was the stuff they wanted, you know, that's what we went with. And then once we got together was when – well, we were together probably like 4 years before I, you know, the Lord had said that you are going to be a health coach, and I said, you know, once I started going through my course, I started really understanding. Okay, so wow, we really do need to change, you know, change habit, change health, simply because these kids have to have the opportunity to make it to 38 and 40, you know, the ages that we are right now, these kids. And so I told my husband, I said, look, we all going to do this together. It ain't going to just be no change on me. It's going to be a change. The whole house is going to change. And so
we ain't getting healthy.
Yeah, we are right. We, it's us.
And the way I looked at it, when my wife is always, she's an outside of the box thinker. That's why she's an entrepreneur. And
#amen.
Amen.
When she brought it to me, the first thing I thought was, okay, so if we change our eating habits, I live longer. I got a good chance
right.
of living longer. So she must love me. Because if she would just allow me to keep the way we were, my life expectancy would continue to dwindle. So she's
right.
not ready to come on that life insurance policy. So she must love me. So, hey, let's go with it.
I don't even know what to say to that. She loves me because she's keeping me alive. I hope my husband don't hear this show. I really could be from, you know, he going to have questions. I'm just going to maneuver past that part. Now I'm going to, you know, if he hears it, because sometimes he'll hop on live or listen afterwards, he's going to tell me that. Like, you must not love me because of the stuff I'm doing. I have questions. I love that you know, so Tanya had this vision and knew she was had to get health, you know, become a health coach and bring it to the family. How did it go over with the kids, though?
Girl,
it was challenging in the beginning, but the great part about it is we went through the training with as Tanya went through her certification, we went with her because we was her first client.
Mm-hmm.
So the stuff that she was learning was bringing back to us, and we went with it. Now, there were some challenges. There was a few things that the kids wasn't ready to let go, but here's why we meshed so well together. She's coming up with, okay, we have to start eating healthy and eating these types of foods, and I love to cook. So I was looking for new dishes, new challenges in the kitchen, and here she is just providing me with a whole new array of options to try for the family. So then we started incorporating. We allowed them to participate in the change. We allowed them, we taught them first, or Tanya taught us first, and we went to the store together, and we let them make decisions. Okay, well, this is which one of these items. Okay, we're not going to do away with chips, but which one is the best choice?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so,
if healthy chips around there,
or a better choice,
healthy
a better choice.
Yeah,
a better
choice, and that's what it was all about in the beginning. We didn't go cold turkey. In other words,
right.
It was okay. Let's start by making better choices.
Right.
And then from there, we was able to easily eliminate the stuff that was just, okay, yeah, we're never going to touch that again.
Right. And so don't, you know, get it. I know a lot of people are like, you know, we don't want to do the whole health thing because it means I can't eat this, I can't eat that. Becoming healthy or becoming a healthier you does not mean you have to stop eating your ice cream, your cake. Simply have a treat day. But be mindful of that treat day. Now, you know it's on Monday. You know, you're eating well for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Your snacks were great. On Tuesday, it don't mean have a treat day. You got to put the work in. You know, in order to earn that reward. That reward should be that slice of cake or that favorite pie or that piece of chocolate that you still love to eat. But you're not eating.
I'm sure, you know, most people, because I tell people this all the time, don't let the size in the pictures fool you. My refrigerator and cabinet is not, to me, it's not a picture of, oh, my gosh, they eat so healthy in this camp. No, it's not, like, ridiculous. There's not a bunch of, you know, snacks and that kind of stuff because, you know, like, but it's not what I would call a picture of a healthy person. And I think a lot of times people will get that crossed. But one of the things I love about you guys, and, y'all, I have been to their house. I know the kids. I know the family. They look healthy, because a lot of times you have people preaching health and health, you know, in the health field in different ways, and they so far from healthy, it's like, how can you tell me anything?
Right, yeah.
I appreciate it, you know. Yeah. You're like hashtag goals. I don't tell you what I eat, though, because, you know, and I'm glad, I love her to death, but I'm glad she live in another state, because then I'd be forced to probably eat healthy stuff all the time.
You do know that our neighbors.
Huh?
You do know that our states are neighbors, so we're not that far away.
Wait, again, huh? I know. But I'm working on it. But this is where my frustration comes in, and I'm sure most of the audience can relate. Like, you get to going, like, really good. Like, you know, go hard, you know, Monday and Tuesday, I'm counting calories, watching carbs, I'm doing all the good stuff. And then Wednesday comes, you get so busy, you stop at the, and just completely ruin everything by, you know, some chicken fingers or something of that nature. And it's hard. Once you fall off, it's like you could be doing good for a week and you fall off one day, it's like it's hard to get back on. So what would you say to somebody that's like, I fell off, I might as well just finish the week off with Bluebell ice cream? Because that would be me, honestly. That would be me.
Well, first, and this is me, because I know there are a lot of trainers, coaches, dietitians, all that stuff that that focus on the whole calorie count. I don't. If you eat real food, if you eat more real food, you don't have to count calories. That's point blank drop the mic, period, hashtag amen on that one. So if that's your focus, that is 100% your focus. I'm eating real food Monday, Tuesday. Okay, on Wednesday, it's a busy day. I don't have time either. You prep that day before if you know you're going to be out and about. If food prepping is not your thing, because it's not mine. So if food prepping is not your thing, you know the spots you can go to get a nice salad, to get a nice salmon dinner, to get a smoothie, to get, you know, it doesn't have to be, everything that's extremely healthy. And my tip is eat where you are. If the only thing now is, and I don't go here, and I ain't hating on nobody that go here, but if McDonald's is the only thing that's in you, get you a salad and go with it. And then when you get home, check your dressing though. Don't get a cream based dressing if they have a Italian or something that's a oil based dressing. Grab that and then do what you got to do. But when you get ain't no guilt. It can't be no guilt.
I don't feel guilty till afterwards, and I'm miserable. I ain't even gonna lie.
Don't do that.
I'm enjoying the moment.
Don't even do that. I prefer you to eat than not eat. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of people, they'll go all day, and because there are
don't eat.
Right, they won't eat, and so now, and then you're upset about the weight that you're not able to lose. Well, your body has to hold on to that because you're not feeding your body nothing to burn. So I got to hold on to this fat because she ain't eating nothing. She ain't feeding me nothing.
listen to
now,
that.
Y'all hear that passion. I'm telling you. That's why I'm glad we live in different states. I don't care what my brother say. But I do good. Tanya would be, proud of me most days. Tanya, you have a whole group on Facebook which talks about, you give your the healthy eating tips on detoxing, a whole lot of, the stuff for people that want to, make it a lifestyle, make healthy and better choices, and she don't beat you up or anything. Like, she gives real practical tips. So what is that group name so people can go ahead and find it and connect with it on Facebook?
Change Habit, Change Health. And that's my motto. It's very simple. Change Habit, Change Health.
And that information will be posted also on the Fun You Radio's Facebook page. I suggest that you guys do join it because it's like simple changes, and she's very knowledgeable. I will say that because I did text her on Easter, and I'm gonna tell you this is where my couple crush comes in with you guys, right? Because I text her, I think on Easter, I was like, I think I put like, hey, happy Easter. How do I do a detox, or what should I detox with? And she did not respond. No, but I'm going to tell you, this is because I think you responded like the next day, and you was like, I didn't have my phone or something like that. But I so love and respect that, because you was like, because it was Sunday, you were with your family, probably doing couple stuff or whatever, but I love and respect it because I do the same thing. I will look at somebody's text or phone call and just be like, psh, not today. Yep. And I love that, because see, Donald, not only does she want you to live, she ain't about to play with me on no cell phone. during y'all time.
You heard? That's just, we won. We are one.
Yes, y'all are, and it's a very beautiful thing to see the happiness and the healthy, not just physically but spiritually in your relationship, because a lot of people don't think you can have that when you're, you know, coming in blending families, you know what I'm saying? And I love that y'all show that. You know, y'all are my couple crush, if that's a thing. Y'all my couple crush. Couple Crush Tuesday is okay, I'm gonna just leave that alone. From one H health to the next, homeschooling, which I think is very interesting, because I'm just going to have a real moment here. I honestly didn't know that people of color, see how politically correct I was? That was very politically correct. People of color, I didn't know people of color homeschooled until, like, I don't know, like 3 years ago or something. Like, you know, because now everybody's mindset is different, but if you think, you know, 5, 10, however many years ago, when people say homeschooling, you'll think, you know, some Mormons on a ranch or something homeschooling their kids. Like, you don't, you know, or, you know, people of color don't homeschool. And I love that I'm seeing that more now, and you guys do it, and it's awesome. So, when did that start, and what was the decision in doing that?
So, 4 years ago, I didn't know people of color homeschooled either. So you are not.
This is about to end. Look, show over right now. Okay.
I had no clue, but let me see, like 6 months prior to me letting the family know, I was researching. It kept coming to my homeschool, and so, you know, and during that time, I was starting my walk with the Lord, and so He kept giving me. He kept homeschool, and I was like, "Look, what are you talking about? What? Why? You know, why me? What? You know." I don't know. So I just started to research. I started researching, and how I kind of tell the kids, I would say, look, if y'all don't get these grades together, next year we're going to homeschool.
So it was a threat. It started as a threat. I'm a threat.
But now I was just saying it. I wasn't really for real about it. I was just, so yeah, I guess it was a threat then. Because I really didn't believe. I would just say it, but I didn't believe it. But
right.
Every day hard, I was researching. And then when I started to find out what was available to them, and I mean, not just what they could have as if they were in public school, but so much more that's out there. Like, the colleges have spots just for homeschoolers, because they know that they think beyond the box. There's no outside the box. It ain't even no box. You know, it's like these kids they get in here and they do their thing. And so I was like, look, this might be all right, but I wonder if it's some other people that look like us.
That look like me.
That do it. I didn't know. I know. And so I had got to the point to where I was like, okay, so this is what it is. This is what we're doing. I called Don at work one day. I was like, babe, and I think he was either in a meeting or getting ready to go to a meeting. And I was like, oh, yeah, babe, so we're going to homeschool the kids next year. And he was like, wait, hold on. Okay, well, babe, can we talk about this?
And I was like, so that change wasn't as easy as a healthy eating change, though.
Exactly. Well, that came, the homeschool came before the health coach. So,
Oh, Lord, you just was doing stuff left, right, and sideways.
There you go. By the time the health change came, he was used to it by then. Like, Lord, let me just go with it. Let me just get on the boat with this woman.
What my wife doing today, Lord?
Now, this speaks to the intelligence of my wife. First of all, when she started the response to your question, she said, "Ah." She was the one that came up with the idea. So that was 100% true. But it became a us and a we when I got home and she was able to answer the questions that I had. Now, unbeknownst to me, been researching for months and months and months, so she was preparing that she can answer my questions. And this is one thing that I lean on when it's time to make a decision is, am I harming anyone? How does this benefit? And what are the potential outcomes? And as I start asking these questions, well, I know because my wife loved me and she loved the family, she's not going to do this out of malice or to hurt anyone. It's to help. So regardless of, in other words, I don't have to fully understand it to be able to go with it and support it. So once I got that recognition that, you know, my wife, she's done her research. She know more about this subject matter than I do, but then she gave me the schedule. All I need you to do is teach math and Bible, and I got everything else, and then I was on board.
I love it. It's such a, because like I said, I've been to their home. And it literally, there is a whole, like a classroom setup that looks like you're walking into a school classroom. I was like surprised because, you know, you think homeschooling, you know, you think, okay, child sitting on a bed, I'm doing other stuff. They got a book and I'm like reading, I'm asking you some questions, but you have it set up so, you know, so efficiently, and then it definitely shows up in the kids. Was part of the decision to homeschool, was part of that decision because of the safety issue in schools? Because what we're seeing today, I would say it probably really started like 5-6 years ago, you know, hit and miss, you know. But was that part of that decision, looking at the safety issues with schools?
It wasn't. I really had got to the point where I was tired of people. I was tired of the teachers, and it's no jab against educators because they're great. But I was to the point where I was so done with some of the just the stupid that we had to deal with as far as teachers not knowing a grade that they put on a report card, not teaching, asking that my child stays after school for tutoring, but then because there's not enough children in the class, they can't go over that subject. So it was so petty and small and stupid to me, and I said, you know what? God gave me these kids for a reason. I know doggone well that I can teach my own children. So this is what we gonna do.
In my experiences, I would say my thought process was when we're sitting here and we're making a decision. Well, when I'm getting on board with the decision, I start to think back, okay, my youngest daughter, I remember she went to school and she come home, she's so excited. That whole week she had an average of a 96. That was an awesome job, awesome. She go to school the next week and she come home. I'm like, wait, what happened from this week to the next week? And told me, well, Dad, is I can't focus in the classroom, and we got a substitute teacher, and I was like, what? So I went up to the school to do a school visit, and I walked in the classroom, and I thought it was not a teacher in the classroom because the kids was all over the place, and she me, and she immediately started packing her stuff as if I came to pick her up. And I was like, no, babe, I didn't come to pick you up. I just came to – but by the time I could stop her, she was standing next to my hip like, take me out of here. And so why would your teacher leave class? And she pointed at the desk, and the teacher was sitting at the desk. And I remember what I felt like that day, and I remember looking at the horror on her face. And then my oldest daughter, she was being bullied. And I had been to the school about 3 or 4 times. And when the vice principal looked me in the face and say, Mr. White, there's nothing we can do until this child actually physically do something to your daughter. And knowing
wow.
that child background in conduct issues. And that was her 4th school that school year. She had been removed from 3 other schools. And here my daughter is saying, look, she's verbally threatening me. She's giving me a look as if she want to harm me. And they're saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it. So all of those images start to come back. All those experiences start to come back as we was having this conversation. And I remember the last days that they was in public school, that same girl was threatening to do harm to my daughter on the last day of school. When we get out, I'm gonna kick your butt. And my wife, I remember she called me. I was at work, and she was so upset. If this girl hurt my daughter, I'm gonna go. And she was like a mother. And I said, baby,
right.
Calm down.
Right, because that
calm
was gonna
down.
Be my next question. Because I know your wife, so that was gonna be my next question.
You know,
but here's the thing. I say, baby, calm down. Guess what? They're not going back. So this is their last year in public. She don't have to stay there all day. They're not doing anything. Just go pick her up before school is out. And my wife's like, see, that's why I got to call you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was that much frustration. And, again, this is just our experiences.
Right.
So this is nothing against the educators out there. We need them. We love them. We support them. But our experiences said, you know what, we're going to give our best shot, put our best foot forward this way because we believe this is going to be the best thing for our family. And we went into it, and it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. Our family is so much stronger today than it was 4 years ago when we started this journey.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, having met the children and been around them, they are truly dynamic, respectful, well-rounded doesn't say it, like whatever is bigger than well-rounded, mature. Like I was surprised how young the kids were because of how they are. And so that's a definite, you know, whatever the word I'm looking for, a testament, that may not be the word, I don't know, to you guys is parenting, the family dynamic, and the homeschooling, because if you guys saw, like, it's like the picture that I used to advertise the show of me with the braids, Tanya's daughter took that picture. And all those pictures, you know, so when that's my go-to photographer in Texas, the pictures from Define You last year, which was in Houston, that was taken by her daughter, Tanaya,
yep.
Who is, what, 15, 16?
Six. Mm-hmm.
But she just made 16, right?
Yeah,
like
in
she
January.
Just, okay. And so this, you know, and just seeing that, and I don't know all the time, like if kids realize the advantages that they have until they get out there in the real world and other people don't make sense, but everything that your kids do, because you have a model, you have a, your other baby is on the show, and
right.
I don't want to leave anybody or anything out because I know that all the kids are doing things, and
right.
That's what I love because that what you guys are fostering in them. I don't know that they would have that if they were still in public school, honestly.
Yeah, I agree, because when they were in public school, you know, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 16 years old. And so, of course, that's what I want for all of my children, because I've been on both sides. I had to get up and go to work every day and do this and do that. And when I had kids and they had programs and different things at school, you know, I was told, no, I couldn't get off work, or can't go pick up your kids when they sick from school. So I lived that whole thing, and I was so done with that. In 2008, when I left, and the end, period, on that one. But, and so I wanted to, that's all I kept saying to them was, you know, y'all need to be entrepreneurs. Y'all need to get out there and do this thing. And Tanaya, number one, she was like, no, Mom, that's you. You know, that's your life. Good with finding a job. Once I get old enough, I'm going to find a job. I'm okay with, getting a paycheck here and there, you know. And now I got to keep up with her schedule now, because she's so doggone, don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. So, and we had this conversation last week, as a matter of fact, on the way back from a photo shoot she had on Good Friday. She was like, Mom, you remember when I was so stuck on just having a job and working in corporate America and just okay with settling for that and telling you, no, Mom, it's just you. She was like, I can't even do it. I can't do it. I can't even do it. And it's nothing against corporate America. My husband gets up Monday through Friday and do his thing. But that's not the life that God created for me. You know,
right.
So that's it, you know.
Now, notice she said in 2008, so you have to understand what a family is in 2008. That's when I came on board, you know what I mean? That's when I came up and said, baby, you know what? Now, to be serious for a moment, my wife used to suffer from migraines, and it was, there's no helpless feeling that I've ever had other than to experience my wife laying down, and there's nothing I could do to ease the pain that she was experiencing. I couldn't even relate to the pain. But when we start going, and I remember saying this to her, babe, when we married, you're gonna be covered under insurance. We're gonna get you to these doctors, and we're gonna figure this out. And there was nothing out there, and some of the things we tried was just mind blowing. And I remember going on a doctor's appointment with her, and the doctor come in the room and asked her a question, and my wife went on probably about a 10 to 15 minute dissertation on migraines and headaches. And the doctor was impressed. He didn't know. So he started, you know how they say practicing medicine? He started practicing. He started writing notes down. Like, oh, you experienced this? How did you do with this? He started using my wife as a guinea pig. I was like, oh, we got to figure this thing out. But in 2008, I remember going to my wife and saying, baby, let me take a look at the finances. Okay, you done in corporate America. You're done. We can, as long as we adjust this and adjust that on my income, that will give us enough for you to be able to do your entrepreneur, run your businesses. Because she writes. She has that business savvy and that business mind. From an entrepreneur standpoint, I couldn't fathom it. I was like, I don't see how you start this. Now, once you got it going, that's where I come in at. I'm great at and helping it grow. Because that's where my expertise come in at, is helping you grow what you already have. But she coming in from nothing, from an idea, and then give birth to Change Habit, Change Health. And so this Change Habit, Change Health, that helped her with her migraines. Now we don't even talk about migraines anymore.
Nope.
And that's the road that we started in 2008. When she left corporate America, from leaving corporate America, her migraines started to subside as often as she was having them every day. So just that one maneuver at least gave her some relief. And then we tried everything in the book to give her permanent relief. And it's no coincidence. It's not by happenstance that she's a health coach now.
Right.
Because that spoke personally to her, and she loved her family. So it was just a given that the family was going on the journey and going on the ride with her. And now you see our kids in the grocery store right now, they'll put that back. No, you know, you can't have, no, that's not good. Oh, they trying to trick us on this one. So they know all the tricks of the trade of how to make better choices. And that stems from, that's what started in 2008.
I see why you keep him alive via food choices.
Right.
Y'all know I'm going to use that line. Like, I can't wait till next time I come to Texas or y'all come here. And, but I love everything that you said. And unless someone has had a migraine, they don't understand a migraine, because people that haven't had a migraine will think, oh, it's a headache, you know. No, a migraine is something that you probably can commit, and I'm not advocating violence, but I'm just saying a migraine will make you be violent, and you probably could get off just because if the judge has had migraines, because I know you can't do anything, and a lifestyle change is definitely what helped me, because they have, like, you know, different medicine on the market, and they want to feed you this and feed you that, and it's not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a lifestyle change. Now, you know, Tanya got rid of a job. I got rid of an ex-husband. Lifestyle change. It worked out fine. You know, now I have the love of my life. Hashtag amen.
Right.
Real talk.
Right. There you go.
Look, that's an over dinner discussion. I love you guys so much. So real quick question as we start to wind down the show. How do you guys balance, you know, like with the business, with my brother working, with, you know, the homeschooling, with everything you guys have going on, how do you balance that to still find couple time?
It has to be intentional.
Mm.
If my wife is feeling some kind of way, she's feeling a little empty, I haven't put enough deposits into the one-on-one time, she let me know, and I don't take it personal. So that may be something, a subtle hint, like, you need to take me on date night. I know that date night needs to happen within the next day and a half. It don't have to be much, but basically what she's saying is, I need some affection from you, one-on-one, minus all the madness that goes on in our family. I just need some time with my husband. That's how I hear it. Now, how she, I can't go by how she say it. I just got to go by how I hear it.
Tell the truth.
But,
tell the truth.
But it's definitely,
tell the truth.
It has to be intentional, because after all these entrepreneurs grow up and get their and have their businesses booming, the people that's going to be left is my wife and I. So this is eternal.
And especially since she's keeping you alive with the
you
healthy eating and stuff. Y'all
I'm going to be living to, I might as well change my name to Methuselah. I'm going to be here a while. So I have to make sure if she's going to keep me alive, I got to make sure I'm alive and happy. And happy wife, happy life.
Hashtag amen. On that, Tanya. So, how do you know, like, when you know what I'm saying, like, when you need some one-on-one time, like, how do you know, and then how do you bring it to your husband from your point of view?
So I know I've started identifying my moody, the times when I get moody. At first, I wouldn't admit it to myself that I'm kind of moody, and until I started to pay attention to when I get moody and why. And so I noticed, you know, when I get moody, I'm like, well, we probably haven't went out. We need to do something. We need to go somewhere. I could go by myself, but what fun is that going to be? Okay, babe, yeah, we need to do something. We need to go somewhere. We should probably go out to eat. And I honestly, it can be a trip to Kroger. I'm not even tripping
right
on where. My thing is, okay, get me out of this house, you and me together. This type is just us. Because we are around five individuals all day long, and me longer than him, for one. So, I mean, like, yeah, oh, I gotta get out of here. Let me, you know. And it's not a bad thing where I don't want to be around the kids, of course, because we're
right
in homeschool. But you know, it's like, yeah, we gotta get out of here right quick. So, make that happen. Make this happen, and. And we good, you know?
She just want her king. Is it when she feel
Lord
like she need her king?
Lord.
She just come to the king and say,
see what
king,
you started? This is what you started. I just want to know.
King, I need
I
to do some the king things.
Lord, I do believe I said at the beginning of the show I was probably going to start some mess.
Yep.
And I'm going to work on recognizing my moodiness, because normally my son or my husband will bring it to my attention. And, of course, because they say it, I deny it. And then I'll think about it later.
Yeah. That's what my two oldest girls, they tell me. And so I was like, no, I'm not. What are y'all talking about? And they would keep saying, Mom, you seriously need to pay attention. And so when I, you know, left out the room and started paying attention, I am moody. I could be moody. Now, don't ever tells me that I'm moody, but I know he feel it, though.
Because my mom didn't raise no food.
Donald have a long, long life to live. He got it. He's like, okay, I know I ain't saying nothing. Maybe leave a sneaky note and
right
put one of the kids' names on it. Yeah. Okay, so as we have 2 minutes left, I told y'all that hour goes by fast. Okay, so I want one tip, Donald. This will be from Donald. Then Tony, you're gonna give your tip next. Mr. Donald, give me one tip you would give to a man going into a, dating a woman with children. What is like that one tip? Because I'm sure men ask you that all the time, especially a strong-willed woman. So let me add that to my question. A strong-willed, introduce one child at a time type of woman. What is the one tip you would give to a man dating or wanting to date a woman so powerful as your wife?
Okay. You have to understand that you're not dating the woman, you're dating her kids.
Mm.
So the only way you're going to be able to date her and her kids is you have to be self-aware of who you are dating first. You have to have a higher power in you that you have to be so indwelt in a child and in the love of God that what you say is not what draws them, but what you do is what embrace them. And they gravitate to the God in you, and all you have to do is who you are. So you have to yield first before you can attract us.
Love it. Love it.
I don't know if
single
I
single lady. I have a whole different question playing for you because I knew my brother. I knew he was gonna drop the mic, so I wasn't gonna put you on the spot behind that.
Yeah.
So, Miss beautiful response. Beautiful response. Okay.
Yeah.
Tanya. Miss Tanya.
Yeah.
And don't y'all get used to me calling you Mr. and Miss. This is just strictly for the show. I just have to throw that disclaimer out there.
What?
What tip would you give to someone thinking about homeschooling? Like, what's that one tip you would give them if they're thinking about it?
Do it.
But first, I would definitely say research. So do your research because, we've helped about 3 or 4 families, you know, start to homeschool. I'm actually meeting with a friend next week because she's already withdrew her son and she's ready to, you know, to start homeschooling her son. So we're going to the homeschool store next week to get that going. But definitely research, and you have to be ready. You have to want to do it and enjoy it, whether the kid wants to do it and enjoys it or not, because it's not just about them. So don't let the kid, you know, change your views on, hey, this is what I want to do. Because if I would have did that, because our kids gave us the blues at the first year. So I could have easily said, oh, okay, well, yep, let's go ahead and send them back. But this is something I was supposed to do. I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to help others. And so that's what it is. So definitely do your research. And if this is something that's on your heart, God told you to do it, you better do it.
You know, Tanya had dropped the mic in her own way. And, you know, me being 100% honest, I, you know, wish that this was, you know, I don't want to say an option for me, but in my awareness, you know, year back, you know, when Cameron was still in school, because I could see where the school fell short. I mean, I moved to a whole different parish. You know, some of y'all have counties and different things here in Louisiana. We have parishes. I moved to a whole different parish because of the school system, the better school system here, not knowing that people homeschool. Like I said, I thought it was for Mormons on them farms with 5 wives. So they were sitting at home homeschooling. And I'm just, it's not ignorant. It's being honest because, let's be honest, most people, you know, that's what we think. So I love that. So are you if people want to get in touch with, you know, you guys, want to find out more about homeschooling or, you know, mentoring or eating healthy, you know, like I'm working on it. That's all I'm going to say. How can they get in touch with you, period? Tanya, I know you got a website, but, you know, go ahead and drop your social media info also.
So you can definitely message me on Facebook. I'm Tanya Cossie White is my personal page. Wise Health and Wellness is my business page. And you can also join my Facebook group, Change Habit, Change Health. If it's easy for you to call instead of messaging and doing all that other kind of stuff, my office number is area code 346-818-9317. And I'm open to talk about homeschooling and health coaching on either one of those communications.
Yay. I need to write that number down. So next time you don't answer my text, I'm going to leave that alone. And I love that you're doing, like, you know, people can talk to you guys. Y'all have a wealth of knowledge. You are stuck with me for life, as I'm sure you know, both of you.
Mm-hmm.
I just need a hashtag,
you know.
Amen or something, okay? Because for a minute, I felt like I got dumped.
No.
No, the king is not going to discharge you like that.
Oh, Lord.
That's the rest of your night. Yeah, that's the rest of your night. King Donald.
I know.
Guys, I love you. Thank you so much for a great show. With that being said, pens and papers down, class is officially over. Make sure you are connected with tonight's guest and the show. Get your health together. Help your husbands live longer. Help you live longer and better, and your children. I'm just saying, hashtag amen. Until next time, remember your past doesn't define you. It gives you definition, and it's up to you what you do with that. Have a great night. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Define You Radio. Make sure you connect with the show at www.defineyouradio.com. Pens and papers down. Class dismissed.